is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, Love and Healing Solutions with Beth and Gil. Gil and Beth show people how spiritual truth can help you heal from emotional pain resulting in personal transformation. Gil is a highly skilled pastor who raised up two megachurches in Colorado, and Beth is known around the world as a top-flight psychologist, trauma expert, and gifted healer. Together, they inform and inspire people to recycle and repurpose their lives through the currency of a healed life from breakups and divorce, addiction, failure, loss, and change. Tune in for regular live broadcasts and the opportunity to dive deeper in one-on-one transformation. Please welcome back Beth and Gil to News for the Soul.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Hey. Every time we hear that introduction, I always feel like we should have an English accent.
Oh.
What do you think? I mean, that would make us, it would make us seem a lot
more interesting
and wiser. Hello. Cheerio.
It's funny because some of our intros are in English accents.
They are. Is there a way you can work on that for us?
There is totally a way I could work on that for you.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. We've missed you.
Yeah. How are you doing, and how's it going, and what's new?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Man.
How much time do
yeah.
you have, Nicole?
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah. We're hanging in there. It's been a New Year starting out with a bang, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just good challenges, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I think, you know, I think that's the way of how it goes. So it's like we had some illness on this end, and we're taking care of Beth's mom, and we're kind of moving her out here, and I think that's a good thing. And so, you know, that's a 3,000-mile move that we need to, that we're helping with. And amongst, you know, gosh, hundreds of people a month that check in and say, hey, help us, you know, so.
I think it's funny because, you know, people, they always see the new year as, you know, it's going to be so much better and it's going to be different, you know, and like everybody for about 24 hours has some belief that there will be no challenges this year.
Yeah, hey, 24 hours of belief.
You know, and then the hits just start coming. It's like, it's all.
Yeah, people are like, I'm really excited. I'm turning the page on this awful year, and now,
yep.
you know,
yep.
You know, it's yeah. So it's
yeah.
good to be a realist, I guess, and then help
yeah.
people through that.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for
yeah.
asking. And
yeah.
It's good to hear your voice, and I think, you know, it's good to be back in circulation too, and part of that is being right here with you and your listeners.
You know, I think we've said it on every show, on every hour for the last few years at least, every time. The energy seems to be amped up from the show before. So I think that it's, you know, it just, everything's raising its game.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, you know, we're in this series called Personality Traits Gone Wild, and you know, and this one, the one that we're in the middle of has just been really interesting because I don't know
yeah.
how it works for you or your listeners, but for us, anytime we are making strides in an area, and I think it's a big deal for people to be able to navigate life well. That's why that Hebrew term, chokmah, means skill in living. It's an ancient term that actually has been a part of every generation, and that is that, you know, if you get a life, you have to develop skills to walk it through. And, you know, you don't...
What does the word mean again?
Chokmah means skill in living, living skillfully.
Does our culture have that?
No, right. Our culture does.
Are you saying every generation? I'm sitting here thinking,
no.
is that? Are you sure?
No, I'm saying every generation is challenged to
yeah,
make
okay.
sure that, you know, that you have an opportunity to live with skill.
Yeah.
And,
lots of opportunity.
And if you don't, then you find yourself in a place. And what's really tough about this is that if you have a family, a generational scenario going on where the skill has not been there, then the challenge is greater for you.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I know, for me personally, it was like, look, I'm going to either do this well and dive in and, you know, or I'm just going to be swept out in the flood of cultural ideas that are headed in directions that aren't really, you know, healthy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a challenge, you know, it's like anything else in that way. And so, you know, Beth and I jump in and we say, okay, let's do this and do it well. So this one, this personality trait on judgment it's just been interesting because the more we have looked into this and prayed about this and the more that, you know, anytime we step into something that we want more of, then, you know, God will say, here's some practice for you.
Oh, yeah. And then you start seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, don't, yeah, like, don't notice the dark blue cars.
And all of a sudden, there they are.
That's all you see.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So this is something that we've been looking at. I know last time we were with you, I think it was about a month ago, live anyway, we looked at this first half of this judger piece and judgment, and we said this, and this is, you know, judgment is really a form of love. The problem of judgment is it's the love of self. So it's a love that's not outward. Judgment says that I am God, and the way life should go is the way I think it should, and the people and circumstances and situations and experiences in my life, I have scripted out, and it must go the way I have written the play. And if it doesn't go that way, then I have every right to stand up on my throne, you know, on my ivory tower, and, I mean, can I say this term on the show? And bitch, it's basically where I sit. I can stand up here then and complain.
Yeah.
I can stand up here and more than that, I can grab a neighbor or someone that I know and gossip about these people that are not going along with my script. And I'm okay doing that. I'm justified doing that. You know, I love me and how I want things to go. And when those things don't happen, then man, it's throne time and I get to be on that. And fire away. And so even the quiet ones around judgment then will seethe inside. And, you know, they get this, you know, fire burning in them and these embers get fire, you know, going to where it's like, you know, life is not the way it should be. And I am beyond rageful about it. No one would say that. They wouldn't say I have rage. That's not a word we like to hear. But there is a smoldering anger and a smoldering sense of, I deserve better than this.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, my client base is largely people with chronic illness or major illness or you know, whatever pain is in life. But as you were talking about that, you know, justification, like I'm justified in being this angry. I'm justified in being this rageful. Yeah, you fast forward that about 2 years and you've got major health problems for a lot of people. When you do that.
Right.
So you can be as justified as you want and it's going to make you sick. And I heard a perfect example of this today that I'm going to share. And she's not my client, so I feel okay saying this because I don't use names anyway, but a client that I just heard about with liver cancer. And she said to the healer, well, what do you mean I have to get rid of this rage towards my mom in order to heal from stage 4 liver cancer? I'm not interested. Okay.
Yeah. Five.
So,
yeah.
Okay, talk about the perfect example of an extreme of justification. I am justified in this rage towards my mom. Are you kidding me? You think I'm going to let this go because I have stage 4 liver cancer? I mean, that's shocking.
So
that's
there was
a
no
shocking statement.
So there was no tie for this person. There was
She is in effect right
saying,
there making she's making a choice.
And she's saying
if I have to forgive my mom in order to survive this cancer?
Good to know.
Bye.
Okay.
And she hung up. It was over. I'm saying that is the extreme example of justification for my rage.
Yep.
And I have seen that with many clients over the years, particularly with cancer, because cancer is always driven by rage and unforgiveness. And a lot of times really nice people will have cancer because they hold in rage because they're not allowed to show it. So then you got that. But anyway, I just wanted to share that because that's right. I am justified. Well, okay. We'll see how that goes for you because it won't go well.
And the opposite of that, in my side of this and dealing with my own rage back in the day, was I have to surrender and accept. Surrender and acceptance were big. And it was saying, okay, I'm gonna say life is, right? This is the skill part. Most people say, man, if I hold on to this rage, then I win. Then I win. And life feels
like. That you win.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. A pissing match.
Yeah, but seriously, I'm going to hold on to this. I don't care if my liver cancer blows up into a million. I'll go to stage 12. I don't care. I'm going, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to die, you know, giving the finger to my mom.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right.
And I'm like, wow, you could have had 20 more years of joyful living. You could have had 20 more years of impact. You have 20 more years of meaning, 20 more years of loving your children, 20 more years. I mean, I'm just saying that I will give all that up to flip off somebody and say later. I mean, that's the thing, Nicole, as I think that, you know, people will say, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold on to that. And that would be, I think the ancients would say, right? That would be non-skillful living. That would be buying into culture. That would be going with your flow. That would be you feeling,
anti-hakma.
I'm going to do this, right? And I'm serious, though. People will literally do that. I think that's spot on. And I think the other side of that is saying, okay, I will surrender, which is a really tough word. I will lay down my weapon. I will lay it down, and I will accept this is what it is. This is the script that is playing out. I will accept that, and then I, on my side, will adjust to what needs to happen for me to live a fulfilling life.
Yes, and looking at why did you believe you needed that weapon in the first place? Because in your life right now, you may not. But it's subconscious, it's automatic programming that you have to have that weapon. Like for you, with the family you were raised in, when I met you, we talked about you had a weapons closet that was full, metaphorically.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't need these anymore. I'm not living with my dad anymore, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it, too. And people out of pain, you know, they do the justification out of pain, but it's like it's silly. It's anti-hakma in terms of a choice.
You know, I really, Nicole, something happened this week, and I think it was really, been really good, actually, in this way. And we're going to give your listeners a chance to write some things down here very soon as we kind of dial this up. But, you know, family comes in, right? A lot of times I call it the glorious experience of family gatherings over the holidays. It's a glorious experience. And so we got to get ready. Here we go. And
yes, when I walked my mother to her bedroom and told her to go to bed on Christmas Eve. Yes, like that. That kind of glorious.
The glorious family gathering. And
go to bed.
Yeah, but that's what Beth and I have. I'm sure your listeners do too, right? It's like, hey, everybody's getting together, and there's party going on.
It's a joke, right?
Yeah, it's like, whoa, this could go, wow, you know, crazy Uncle Eddie might just come out of the closet there. We're going to be in trouble. But it was interesting I had some family coming in, and I call them my good side of my family. And they live here in Florida, and we're in Sarasota, and they're up in Wesley Chapel, and I guess another couple is coming from Illinois. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a moment, and it was really interesting because I started putting on, like, armor. And this is so crazy. So
automatic.
It's so automatic. And so I'm talking to Beth, and she goes, man, she goes, you sound, right, you're just like your brother, right? You said,
well, your voice, your everything changed about you,
yeah,
right in front of me.
Yeah.
Your voice changed?
Yeah.
Like you became, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did,
I'm like,
man.
Who is that?
You're right, right.
Like, who is that dude? I said, Josie, I'm like,
I know.
Your voice is changing. Your eyes almost change color.
Yeah, they do. And the reason is because there's so much trauma in my past around this stuff.
That's right.
And so
gotta get ready.
It's natural. It's so natural to anti-hakma this, right? It's so natural to say, I'm just gonna get my armor on, and I'm gonna load up, and it's gonna be an Avengers deal here, you know. And the thing was, I'll be honest, it was a little embarrassing because I knew I could tell even. I was like, ugh, like, you know, and I don't want anybody else to see this. I, you know, I'm like, well, this is just what I do, you know. And Beth was like, hey, dang, that's just, you know, you were like.
Yeah, what I said was,
yeah,
and I will not repeat the name, but I said, this certain person is not coming.
Yeah,
heart.
Yeah.
Okay. This certain person is not coming.
Yeah. And because So anyway, all I have to say is that this is really important, I think, in this being in the now and being in this kind of place of saying, put down your weapon, you know, and knowing when it's time to be able to do that. And I think that it's so important. I could have ruined not just other people's experience, and so I could have ruined my own. And I think that's the bottom line where I actually, right. And I had because Beth was kind enough to put her arm around me and go, dude, like, we're going to have a blast. Like, what do you, you know, time out here. And it was so great because just in that moment, and I mean this, I'm going to say this to your listeners, like, big time. Okay. This whole idea of being like, oh, I'm a positive thinker, it's just BS. You're going to have to live in the now. And to live in the now means you need to make decisions in the now to say, that's right, I need to realize that I'm not time zoned. These people aren't coming. I have done a really good job of setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wonderful time that's going to be happening. And you know what? I deserve a great time here. And enough of, you know, I'm willing to just let other experiences and people and expectations put me into a really negative drift. You know, had I not had a great time on that, I could have easily gone, well, I didn't have a very good time because these people and blah, 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 right? That's such BS at this point. You know, I have the ability to make a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to choose to surrender and accept in this rather than hold on to some past awesome trauma garbage that I don't need to do anymore. And I think it's, anyway, I just want to say, I think it's important, two things on that. One, it's important to know that you can do it. And two, and I mean this, I hope you have a person in your life that loves you enough to say, hey, I love you so much. Please come into the reality of the situation. Please allow yourself to come back. Come back to me. You know, come back to me. I love you. Come back. You know, I want you to experience something really great and not hold on to that. So I just think, man, those two things are huge for me in that. And I think for your listeners, too. Anyway, Beth, you wanted to jump in.
Well, one of the things that I tell my clients that I work with, and I say this often because I believe it really helps, is if you feel like, and we all can know, we can all watch ourselves. That's what we, as human beings, right? We call it an objective observer, which is part of Hakma, right? We all have the ability to watch ourselves and observe ourselves and how we're feeling, observe our behavior, observe our bodies, observe ourselves. And when one observes that their emotions, how they're feeling, their level of tenseness, intensity, anxiety does not match what's happening around them in that moment, okay, then you know you are living from another time zone from the past, okay? So, for example, right, if we were in the kitchen and you had some of your family members coming, you know, the good side coming, and, right, you noticed, right, you were starting to get really amped up, And so if, when you look around.
And Nicole, me getting really amped up.
Oh, he's big. He's 6'6". He's big.
So embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You will be great. So, no, but if you think about it, right? So that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
You're getting amped up. You're getting maybe even warm, maybe a little sweaty. Your voice is changing, getting louder. You're putting on this kind of armor and this weaponry. Like, I could just tell all that was happening. But for the person, if you're alone, you can do this too. You can feel it. It's like, okay. And you knew, like you said, you could feel yourself doing it. So, like, when you feel that and then you look around and go, wait a minute. Okay, nobody is here. It's really quiet. We got some candles going. My favorite auntie is coming, and my two favorite girl cousins. Okay. Then you can see the reality doesn't match how you are feeling, behaving, responding. And when you can see that, you automatically know you have been taken back to a time zone of trauma. From your life. So you know that. And then you can say, oh, wow, okay, if I just look at myself, this does not match what my surroundings are right now. And then you catch yourself, and then you can release it. Like, okay, and a lot of times, I mean, I've been doing intuitive healing work for so long that even, like, for myself, I can feel. It's like, oh, there I went. I just went to a place mm-hmm. where I felt 10 years ago. I know exactly where I just went. I am not here. And sometimes we know those things and sometimes we don't, but we at least can tell I'm not here right now. I just went to another place. My body is reacting as if I am living from a different spot, you know, from when my dad was there or whatever it was for the person. So it's just an exercise that really helps. You know, how I feel and act, is that matching what's really here? If not, you're somewhere else. Bring yourself back here now.
And I think everyone does it, you know, like this pressure to be a
yeah.
positive spiritual leader. I mean, nobody's in
yeah.
that hat 24 hours a day, and it makes you more real and authentic and your teachings more poignant when,
yeah.
you know, you're able to admit your moments, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely right. Yes. Yes.
Well,
we all have those moments.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can catch yourself sooner, then there's less pain involved. Sometimes, you know, we don't catch ourselves until after the interaction and wonder why we felt so bad. And that's okay, too. You can see it, you know. And one of the things that another thing I love to share with people is, okay, so if you notice yourself, and you were time zoned. You were living from somewhere in the past with automatic programming that isn't so stellar. Okay. Well, that's okay. You just noticed it. Even if it's after the interaction, don't condemn yourself because nothing good will ever come of that. Don't condemn yourself. Just go, oh, aha. You know, there it is. There's that old programming again. And, you know, it caused me not to have some great time tonight. But I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm just going to notice it. Say, okay, well, good. You know, better luck next time. I saw it, which helps me for the next time.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we're gentle, right, with ourselves in that, because if we're not, then you live under that condemnation piece, then, you know, that's going to spiral you the wrong way. And, again, that comes back to, you know, again, skill in living is, hey, when I notice this stuff, it's being gentle. You know, I really think, too, like, celebrate that. You know, the fact that you're getting to the place where you go, oh, there I am. You know, I think that's a really great thing of saying, oh, yeah, that's that dude. You know, that's that kid back when he was 16 that had to fend for himself in really, really difficult places of abuse and, you know, verbally, physically, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's that kid. He's getting fired up. And you know what? That's okay. There he is. And that kid's a great kid. He actually survived with that. And now he can just kind of say, hey, you know, I'm good. You know, I'm really good. So all I have to say is, Nicole, we had a great time. And, you know, seriously, that's the thing. I had a great time. So did you. Everybody was in a great spot. And I think that, you know, we were able to set it. We call it a container, right? We have this, like, safe container that's, really, every time we get together, we call this the House of Joy. Best name is, you know, Beit. It's house. Mine's Hira in ancient Greek. It means house of joy, right? So we both have said, let's create this kind of transformational environment for people that are here. And to do that, I love, and I've said this a million times over, when you say I'm going to commit to that, then the challenges will come, and that's okay. It's like, okay, I need to deal with that. And I love the fact that we have kind of put our marker down on that one. It's like Beit Hila, which is our names together, House of Joy, we are in on creating that. And I know on my end what could, in a sense, sabotage that would be not being in the now and aware and then being able to surrender and accept in that. And that's decisions that I make. And I think what we wanted to say to your listeners today was judgment, this thing that can take you really off your game, right, and can place you in really dark, dark spots. You can make decisions in the now that will change all that. It will change all that. And so what's been happening, I think, with Beth and myself is we've had opportunities to live in that anti-Hakma place of I'm going to just let how the culture does these things dictate how we do these things. And if that's the case, then we're going to be sitting on top of our thrones, throwing judgment in ways that say, I am justified that you all get your act together to make this work out, rather than, hey, I can make decisions on this. So we wanted to throw out a couple of things on this that we think will help. And then we want your, you know, if you're listening in and you want to kind of come along with us on this, then we're going to ask you to write some things down as we go so that you're able to become more kind of in the now for yourself and more aware. So the two ways of creating a path away from what bitter judgment can do to you, the path really of peace, I think the path of joy is, you know, the way of decision and the way of love. And this is what we, you know, we talk about and it's what we preach, I think, in a way, in a good way that we're, and we strive for. Yeah. We say, okay, we're striving. We're going to be gentle with ourselves as we go. And so this way of decision is, this is where I'm going to ultimately choose when I get triggered to judge someone, I'm going to make different decisions. I'm going to not go with the cultural flow on this. I'm not going to move onto a throne and say, my script is the way this needs to go. You've inconvenienced me. You've totally made my day awful, and I'm going to beat you up for it, and I'm fully justified in doing that. I'm going to move away from that, right? And I'm going to make two decisions that are really, really crucial in this. Really crucial. And Beth has some really good stuff around this too, right, about why we do this and how we can be gentle with ourselves. But the first one goes like this. I will make the decision that I can't control another individual. I cannot control them, right? This is kind of the law of expectation. I will make the decision that I can't control another individual. I can only control myself, okay? That's my decision. I make it in the now. Instead of saying for my day, life, this experience I'm in, whatever, to go inconvenience and perfect, because that's what I need to have. I wake up every morning, I go, boy, I know exactly how I want my day to go. I've got it all planned out. Here it is, you know. Everybody's going to play along. Everybody's got a part. This is a play, right? I have a play. Yeah, I'm in theater here. I am not only the director, I'm the writer. I did the screenplay. This is the way it's going to go. And it's going to be amazing, especially if all these people play their parts that I have written down right here, right? When that happens, right? So anybody's perfect. This person needs to be blank, whatever it is. They need to be kind. They need to be on time. They need to be sharp. They need to be getting their job done. They need to be out of here by this, whatever it would be for you. This, you know, for us a lot, it's just a whole slew of decisions all day long and positions we go in. Instead of saying all this, right, where I have all these expectations, I've written the script, everybody's got to play their parts, I say, I am going to say this is the way this person is. This is the way the situation is, the way this day is. This is the way all this is going, and I'm going to stop trying to change all of this, this person, these people especially, and adjust my heart accordingly. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be a different person around this situation rather than let it take me down a dark road. I will be the one who transforms first, and that's okay. Matter of fact, it's a great thing. And I'm just going to give you five examples. This is like my week, our week, and Beth can give you hers, and I don't want to, she wants to, but I was sitting there, we were writing this out, and I thought, my gosh, this stuff happens all the time. And it happened just in the last few days, right? These are five biggies, right? Our handyman, right? I had a written play out. He was in the play. I had written out his part. I did. I wrote it all out, exactly how he needed to be, right? Mm-hmm. we had a friend of ours who helped us get some lawn mulch ordered, and he completely missed on that. And I had it all written out for him, too, how this was going to work and how we were going to feel by the end of that day. And then these are all great first world problems, Nicole, and we yeah. have them. So just putting it out there, this first world stuff, and I'm telling you it's important. And then the third, Beth and I both have punishing exes that we have to deal with, like on an ongoing basis in various ways. So our children, really, I was having now, so our children. And we have six of them. And so we have lots of opportunities to hear about our exes' BS, right? And then we have Beth's mom moving out here. And we're doing all this work to put her into this place called Arietta. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Arietta means melody and song and a great marketing, except they don't live it. And so here we go. We go, all right, we got to get that done. And this person that's our point person blew a flooring deal, right? I had it written out that she was going to have a perfect flooring scenario for this place, right? I had it all written out for that phone call, and she totally messed it up, right? And then a person that got onto our website and DM'd me, Gil Jones, awesome guy. I really love people. I'm the lover and not a fighter. No. Called me a PC, you know what, POS. So this is just the last few days, Nicole. like this is the easiest thing to write. Because my script was not adhered to by the world.
By the masses.
I had the masses. Nicole, if people only did things my way, we would have world peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all be wearing tie-dyed shirts, sitting around campfires, holding hands, and experiencing Woodstock 2. It would be amazing. I have it all set up. I just want you to know. I have a script. Your listeners would love it. Matter of fact, if they want to check in with me, I will let them know the part they are to play.
Yeah, right.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah, that's right.
And I have it. I have it. And I'm just gonna offer this out there, Nicole. I have a feeling your listeners have this too.
Oh dear.
I do. And I just have a feeling.
Well, we all focus on what's going wrong, and it's all about us. Like you're saying, you know, you're writing the script. I've got a part for everybody. Obviously, you're kidding, but it's so true that it makes it funny. Because, yeah, it's all about us and how our day is supposed to go. Yeah. And then, throw God in there, too. You're going to get mad at God because your day didn't go perfectly. I mean, I hear that one all the time. Not from you, but, yeah, I mean.
I know.
No, but, seriously, yeah. Yeah, it's about me and my comfort. Thank you very much. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
that's true.
I have a warm, cozy life I've written out. And the play is on, right? Yeah. I wake up, ding, alarm goes off, and here's the way it's going to go. And so I just think something that happened, and again, I know I talked about Beth a lot because I really respect her in this way, but, man, I was going off on one of these people in my play, you know?
Yeah, just to me, not me.
Yeah, no, not to anybody else. Just my close friends and the neighbors. I'm just kidding. But if they would give me a chance, I would let them know what I'm thinking. What?
No, you would.
Well, anyway. Okay, I wouldn't. That's true. I'm gaining immaturity. So immaturity. So anyway. So we were in the kitchen. And I was going off on somebody in my play that wasn't playing their part, and they weren't putting the right words or deeds in there. Words and deeds are important in my play, Nicole. And so anyway, I was doing that. Just everything. This guy does this on, man, because I live in the world of expectations, and I'm learning about this. So, Beth just looked at me and she's like, I love it. She goes, has this person ever played this part you've written for them? I'm phrasing this the way I heard it. Has this person ever played the parts, ever said the words and done the deeds that you've ever written for them? Like, have they done that? Have they exhibited these qualities ever in your life as you've seen them? And the answer was no. No, they haven't. And so Beth just goes, so when are you going to surrender and accept that?
See him for who he is.
And see him for who he really is. And then see the beauty in this guy. because he has a lot of it. You know, he just wasn't doing what I wanted him to do in the timing that I needed it to happen. He wasn't getting back to me, right? These are things, this daily stuff that happens, right? These first world problems. And, man, I was just weird. So, anyway, all I have to say is, Beth just said, hey, time out, come back into this, and really, here's the reality of it. And it was like, okay, I need to make two decisions. One, I'll make the decision that I can't control another person, only myself. And two, that's the law of expectation, right? Anytime you put expectations on people, you're just dialing yourself up for disappointment and anger.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, you know who they really are. And then I will make the decision to focus on what is going right rather than wrong. And this is super important, okay? So I'm going to make sure then, I'm going to look at this person and I'm going to see the right things about them and what they do. And say, this is really important because it becomes a gratitude list.
Yeah.
So you've got the law of expectation and the law of gratitude. These are the decisions we need to make under those auspices, right? I'm going to say, under the law of expectation, this person is the way they are, and I have chosen to do life with them. And if I choose to do life with them, then in this script, it needs to leave a whole lot of room for grace, and a whole lot of room for lower expectations, and a whole lot of room for what is real, the reality of the situation. Beth goes, has this person ever said the words you've written and done the deeds that you have laid out for them in perfect ways that never inconvenience you? And the answer to that is, hells to the no. Okay then, Jonesy.
And they aren't going to.
Yeah, they're not gonna. So you need to change your script. And that's on you. And I tell you, I'm not kidding when I say this. It was like she just took a scissors and cut a brutal thread where my heart just got free. It was like, Oh, it's, you know, that's right. And my heart was being strangled. I mean, it's just my soul was being strangled by these expectations I'd laid on this guy. And not only him, my ex, you know, this friend who blew our mulch deal. The lady down at Arietta blew the flooring, you know, the person who got her, and didn't tell me what an awesome person I was and instead went the other way with that. That cord got cut that was strangling my soul. And I'm just going to say, okay, I think a lot of your listeners are probably have strangled souls right now. And at some level, at some point, you want to cut that or not and let your heart live free. Your soul is living in freedom, and that it can love and be gentle and be really who you really are, really who you're really made to be. Because God's got you in that. He's got a great design for you, and he didn't make you to have to go through this life and have your soul be strangled by these expectations you have and really this piece of you that says, I'm going to focus on what's wrong rather than what's right, and therefore I don't have a gratitude piece to my heart. So those two things changed for me in 1 second.
Wow.
1 second. In 1 second. This isn't a long surgery. For, you know, days on end with these people. Every one of those five expectations I had of those people that weren't playing by my script, that scissor cut that cord that was strangling my heart. And I'm telling you, I started living in a place of freedom and love and joy. I mean that. It was 1 second. 1 second. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be presented with this problem again, right? It doesn't mean that, okay, that cord got cut, and therefore that cord's just laying there waiting to come back and strangle your soul. Right? It's not, you know, you say this all day. This is a daily thing. This is a moment by moment thing. It might be 10 times today, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were going to say
yeah.
that.
Sure.
Well, no, and I mean, I think that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, I apologize that this is the truth. But everything goes back to how you were raised.
Yeah.
Not just for you, Gil, for all of us.
Yeah.
Everything, the core of who we are, our beliefs, our constructs, how we see the world is age 5 and under, no matter who you are. That is when that is cemented. Now, it doesn't mean it can't change, because if it couldn't change, I would have no job. So we know it's changeable. But yeah, that is that automatic programming is set. And for you, you know, and a lot of people, our culture is very into blame. Our culture is very into blame. One side or the other of politics, any issue, it's blame. Okay. It is you're wrong, I'm right, blaming you. If you only change, then I'd be happy. Okay? I mean, that's our culture. It's really sad. It's quite pathetic. And this is the anti-Hakma again. But everything is about blame. And your family is the perfect microcosm of that. You know, your family, you were brought up in a home of blame and shame. Well, and like you were saying, right? You're just sitting there at the table as a kid going, okay, my dad's going off and blaming everybody. Please don't let it be me tonight. Please don't let it be me. Okay? That is a scared child. Okay?
But there's also a skill in that, though.
Yeah.
That you have to develop, at least for me, right?
Of course.
So I don't know the kind
of
table your listeners grew up in.
Well,
but when that started happening, when I knew right away, like, oh, crap. Like, here's the judgment, right? That coach sucks. Why he didn't play my brother? He didn't start me. Your teacher is a blowhard. Our neighbors, whatever it would be. It was like, man, it was like set up the bowling pin, knock it down.
Yep.
Set up the next bowling, knock it down. And I sat over and I went, the only way I know I'm not to be the next bowling pin